Hare Krishna. So now we are very, very fortunate to be by the side of Giriraj on one side with his mysteriously colored, transcendentally shaped Shilas, and on the other side by Sri Govinda Kund. So Govinda Kund, there are so many pastimes of Radha and Krishna have taken place here, but I would like to speak a little bit about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and the significance of this Kund in regards to that particular pastime. So as we know, Nanda Baba was preparing for another kind of festival. He wanted to worship Indradev. And this was just a, you could say, a customary, not Vedic sacrifice, but a local custom to please the demigods. Radhe, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Radhe, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Nothing to eat. Oh, I'm sorry. Hari Bol, Radhe. Shyam. Hari Bol. Offering auspiciousness to us. This is the place, these places are related to the Sarabi cows. So just see. Giriraj has sent us one beautiful Sarabi cow with a Sarabi calf so that we can observe her beauty and her presence so that we can make something of this pastime become real. Rivo, Rivo. Jai Radhe, Rivo. Jai Radhe. So she has come just to give us her association, so that we can to get a garden, so that we can have some insights into the beauty of this pastime. So Nanda Maharaj, he was preparing to worship Indra, and Krishna came, and as we know, he spoke so many words, so many clever words. Ah, ah. Betty. Va, chao. So, now we're going to have problems because now the man comes with the chana, and you know who follows the chana cart?
Monkeys!
So, so Giriraj is very playful. So anyway, Nanda Maharaj changed his mind after hearing so many arguments, and he decided instead to worship Giriraj. So I would like to share with you a little description of the festival that he arranged. Krishna arranged, he told them to bring all of the foodstuffs, and first of all you should do puja to Giriraj, and then after the puja, everyone should take, honor the prasad of Giriraj, especially the brahmanas. And then after that, we should do a large prikram of Giriraj. So they all agreed and they were very happy to do that. He said to them, this was his instruction, he said, you who have the audacity to challenge even Lord Indra, who lives for millenniums, should now happily circumambulate Govardhan Hill along with your cows, bulls, and calves. Do not think, how can we have faith that Giriraj will gratify our desires? Soon, Giriraj will fulfill all your desires and become famous as a second Mahendra, Maha Indra. Indra means the supreme controller of heaven. So he will become the Maha Indra, Giriraj. So don't lose any faith or any confidence in my words. Worship Giriraj. He will reward you handsomely and make all your endeavors fruitful. What more can I say? Said Krishna. Oh Father, if you want, you can follow my advice and achieve an auspicious result. So naturally all the Vrajavasis became so enlivened to follow the celebration as Krishna had arranged. So first of all, they sang very happily as they decorated the cows. And just hear how beautifully the cows were dressed. The cows were adorned with gold-plated horns, colorful silk cloths on their backs, and pearl necklaces and tinkling bells hanging from around their necks. And seeing their mothers so richly ornamented, the little calves began to jump up and down excitedly. So they got all the cows and calves ready for this festival. Then Nanda Maharaj brought all the puja paraphernalia from his house, and they began to prepare everything for Giriraj. So they began to offer the worship, and as we know, Giriraj assumed a huge form, a huge human form. And this form, of course, was a manifestation of Krishna himself. But he stood and watched this, and he looked and he said, oh, look, look what Giriraj has done. He has assumed this huge form to accept all of the foodstuffs that you have all lovingly brought for him. He has a huge mouth. Look, he's eating everything, all of the rice, all of the ghee. The rice was piled up, then they poured yellow ghee over it, and it looked like the golden Mount Sumeru. And so many sweets were offered to Giriraj, and he ate everything. So Krishna glorified this wonderful human-like form, and along with all the Brajabasis, he too offered his obeisances to Giriraj in this form. And Gavi Kanpur, in writing this pastime, he says that by joyfully worshipping Govardhan Hill, the Brajabasis realized that Govardhan was a person, a personality. And so they became very happy. And all the temples on the side of Govardhan, they were all celebrating, and there was kirtan and music and bells ringing, and so much celebration was taking place. And Giriraj caused the entire atmosphere to become so festive and happy. Anyone, Kavi Kanpur says, who simply hears or chants the glories of Giri Govardhan, which are inconceivable to ordinary people, will be delivered from all calamities. So we should remember this. And when we go back to our calamitous positions in life, which may come and go in our various circumstances outside of Braj, we should remember that if we can remember Giri Govardhan, as we have seen Giriraj here, or on the other side of the hill, where we've sat for so many days, listening and looking at a speaker whose backdrop behind them is the serene expanse of Govardhan Hill, and as far as you can look this way, as far as you can see that way, is Giriraj. So we should feel the protection of Giriraj, even when we are not fortunate enough to sit with this wonderful dust as our seat. So then they began to circumambulate, and just hear of this wonderful festival of circumambulation. In the beginning, to lead the way were many skilled musicians. Generally speaking, it describes they played drums. And they went in the front, playing their drums very loudly and creating a very wonderful beat and a festival atmosphere. Then right behind the drum players came the cowherd boys. And they were all dressed very, very wonderfully, and they had all sorts of decorations painted on their cheeks, in their best clothes, and they were full of life and joyfulness. They were walking next. And now behind them came the cowherd men headed by Nanda Baba. So he was in his best cloth also. Very, very majestically he followed the young boys, Krishna and Balaram and the other boys, as they jumped and laughed. And he came behind. Then after him came the cows. And the boys had their sticks, and they would run and they would chase the cows and move the cows forward. Then came another group of musicians. And these musicians had stringed instruments and flutes, and so many wind instruments were being played. And behind this group of musicians came the ladies. First came the singers with their very sweet voices, all singing the glories of Giriraj. And then came the beautiful dancers in rows and rows and rows, all dancing to depict the beautiful glories of Giriraj also. And then came the gopis, their faces glowing with happiness, riding on bullock carts that rivaled the golden chariots of the gods. They sang loudly about their intimate pastimes with Krishna. And Krishna in this way arranged everybody to come together. And off they went, and they went all the way around Giriraj from one side all the way to the other, accompanied by this wonderful music and dancing and singing. And actually the happiness that the Vrajavasis felt was unlimited. It can't even be described. Even though a soul is tiny in size, a soul can actually enjoy immeasurable happiness, tells us, Kavi Kanpur tells us. And as a result, these Vrajavasis, their souls drowned in inconceivable joy. So they continued their prakram and then they returned. And they were all very, very happy that night. But there was one person who was extremely disturbed. So disturbed that he developed a headache due to being ignored and forgotten by the Vrajavasis. And this was Indra. He was so offended and he became so retaliatory. He was just thinking how he could actually do something to get his revenge on this cowherd boys and men. So now Kavi Kanpur says he will describe how he tried to get relief and revenge by employing excessive rains. While sitting amongst the demigods, Indra felt sad and distressed, seeing that his sacrifice had been cancelled. Burning with rage, Indra said, "The intelligence of these men is just like the animals that they tend. They stopped my puja just by hearing a few words from a mere child. And even though many goddesses of learning praise me, those offensive cowherd men did not think twice about giving up my worship. How have they been overtaken by false pride?" He was so offended. "This foolish, arrogant and talkative child has offended me. But I will see how long it will last." So he made a plan, and he called the clouds. Just imagine, these clouds are capable of inundating the whole universe. As far as we can see in the night, all the stars, all in all directions, everything, these clouds will fill it all up with water at the time that is required to annihilate the whole of the universe. So these clouds are under the control of Indra, and he made a plan. And he took these clouds. He said to them, "You have the unadulterated mood of destroying the whole creation within you. But this assignment that I want to give you involves only a very small region. So go and shake the earth with your thunder and destroy the village of Vrindavan with a deluge." So the clouds, they decided, yes, they should do what Indra is requesting them. But they were also a little bit afraid. But Indra said to them, "Don't worry," he said, "I will ride behind on my elephant, and therefore I will make sure that everything goes as planned." So the clouds came, and a vast body of clouds, so thick you could not see, came, and they came all over Braj. And the whole area became so dark that it was just like the soot on the bottom of a pot, completely dark, and no one could see anything. And then these clouds, the thunder began, and the lightning started striking the sky, and then the rain started coming down, and these clouds were so vast, they went right up to the edge of the universe, and the rain that poured down, poured downwards, just like we see the Ganga, and it's going so swiftly, but it's going along. Just imagine if the Ganga was pouring down at that same rate. So just in the same way, rain started pouring down all over Vraj. So seeing these huge clouds and this torrential downpour that was so unusual and so dangerous, all the cows took their calves underneath their fatty, you know, the cows have this under their necks, where they have their skin that hangs down, this, the blankets of loose skin from their necks, so they took their calves underneath trying to protect them. And the angry bulls had very red eyes, and they would look up at the sky with this, in fury, as also there were huge, hailstones falling, and they would hit on the heads of the bulls, and then they would splash in every direction. And the bulls and the cows of Braj began to realize that they were in great danger. Meanwhile, as this was taking place, all the people full of pain and agony, now just think, Krishna had just assured them all, don't have any doubt that I will fulfill your desires. Do as I say. And do what I want and everything will work, your desires will all be satisfied. But now, it appears that exactly the opposite is taking place. Because of following Krishna, now everything is going to be destroyed. So they ran to Krishna and they called out his name and sought his protection. They said, you always save us and give us happiness. And now we're in such danger. Since you are the Lord of Gokul, you should immediately save us. Look, the flashing lightning bolts appear like forked tongues of an angry snake. And the hailstones are pulverizing the life out of the trees. The lightning entered the water and looked as brilliant as fire coming up from the water. Please save us. And all the people had gone to the higher land because the land was gradually becoming quickly becoming flooded. So Krishna understood what to do. And he slipped underneath Giriraj. And then Srila Prabhupada says, just like a boy would pick up an umbrella for a frog. Does anyone know what a frog's umbrella is? A mushroom. Just as you pick up a mushroom, just like you pick up a mushroom like that, and you hold it up with no effort above your head, he picked up Giriraj, who was unlimitedly larger than he is now. This is just the top of Giriraj. So much he has sunk into the ground. So he picked up Giriraj on his finger and he held him up and called everyone in Braj, come underneath the hill. Do not be afraid. Do not think that this hill will fall from my hand. Bring your cows and calves and everybody and come under the hill. So then all the residents of Vrindavan, with complete faith in Krishna, they all entered underneath the hill. So now we're going to hear a little bit of the exchanges that took place whilst the residents of Braj were all being sheltered beneath Giriraj.
When Krishna lifted up the hill, the rocks that were... rocks fell off the bottom, chunks of rocks fell off the bottom of the hill, and it formed a boundary around the hill, and therefore the rain that was falling down, it did not enter underneath the hill after Krishna had lifted it. So when the Brijbasis looked underneath the hill, what did they see? They saw that there was a valley beneath Govardhan, which was dazzling and attractive in the light. And it could easily accommodate them all, and also all their cows, all the animals, and all their family members. And that valley had many, many wonderful sense objects for their eyes and their touch and taste and so on. And it was the ornament of the earth. It was pure, it was opulent, and it was more more opulent than the lower planets that were full of opulence. There was rich green fields of barley spread in all directions, and there were many lakes filled with crystal waters. So the cows stayed. There was a whole town underneath there, and the cows stayed on the border, and they pastured on the fields, which were full of green grass. And the Brijbasis stood around peacefully in different groups. Some cowherd men mixed with the Brahmins, because Braja is populated mostly with cowherd men and Brahmanas. And the elderly married ladies stayed with their...
Daughters-in-law.
Radhika and other prominent young married gopis gathered beside them. And Krishna's intimate friends like Batu remained by his side. Who is Batu? What's another name of Batu? Madhu Mangal. And Nanda, Yasoda and Balaram stood slightly in front of Krishna. Thus, the Vaishnavas all experienced great joy intimately associating with Krishna. They felt no fear, no discomfort due to Indras deliberately trying to hurt them. Yet the rain, which was falling from the roaring clouds, it sounded like water pouring from the mouths of many large water pots. But the Brijbasis felt not the slightest bit of discomfort. Rather, they were so joyful. Why? What was the cause of their great joy? Why? They were just staring, simply staring at Krishna. Every devotee saw that Krishna was simply looking at them. This is the wonderful power of Krishna, because one can think that Krishna has so many devotees, millions and billions, unlimited number of devotees. So how could Krishna satisfy them all? And the answer is yes, Krishna can do that with his achintya shakti, effortlessly. So, while holding up Govardhan Hill, Krishna was surrounded by all his loving associates and taking advantage of this intimate setting, because everyone was so happy because they had the opportunity to look at Krishna, something that they could not do every day, because Krishna would go out to the fields with the cowherd boys and the cows, and who was happy? The cowherd boys and the cows. But who was unhappy? Everyone else. Krishna's mothers, Krishna's fathers, the young gopis, they were all crying while all the cowherd boys and cows were so thrilled. And then when they come back, the cowherd boys went to their own homes and the cows went to the barn, and they were the ones who were unhappy because they couldn't be with Krishna. So whoever was with Krishna was happy. Whoever was separated from Krishna was simply thinking of him, and they were experiencing Krishna just by thinking of him, but they were unhappy. But at this time, and also when Krishna was performing the Kaliya Leela, or dancing upon the heads of Kaliya, or wrapped in his coils, everyone just stared and stared at wonderful Krishna. The gopis, they also stared at Krishna with their glances, which were full of love. So during this festival of lifting Govardhan Hill, everyone tasted the greatest ecstasy. And Madhu Mangal, whose other name is Batu, he said, "Please, O dearmost friend of the whole world, listen to my words. You are standing, holding this Govardhan Hill with the little finger of your left hand, but you may be becoming tired. By my brahminical power, I will fill you with happiness. When I am here as your friend, why are you troubling yourself in lifting Govardhan Hill? Oh, lotus-eyed one, just order me, and by my Brahman Tejas, I will hold up this great mountain on the tip of my golden stick. You must be exhausted from holding up the hill, so now relax. Take some rest, and I will hold up the hill." And then, just imagine what Mother Yasoda was feeling. On one hand, she was just looking at Krishna, so happy to be gazing at his beautiful face. But on the other side, she thought like this, "Oh, my darling child, for years we peacefully observed the Indrajagya and there was no trouble. But now you abruptly stopped it and see what has happened. Disregarding," she began to preach to him, "disregarding the demigods brings inauspiciousness. Look at our situation now. How can one find fortune if he shows enmity towards the demons or the demigods? In the presence of these two fears, how can we enjoy living here?" So Yasoda was thinking that Krishna was overworking himself, and she expressed her motherly affection by reaching up to lovingly touch his lotus hand, which was holding the hill. And while doing this, she said, "How can your hand, which is as pure and as soft as fresh butter, how can it bear the heavy weight of this mountain without any other help, without any other support? Oh, Giriraj, give compassion. Be compassionate, oh Giriraj. Give me this boon. If you are actually some worshipable god," because they had just performed Govardhan Puja, and they are worshipping Giriraj, and then Giriraj, Krishna himself, said, "Look at this huge form of Giriraj that Giriraj has assumed." So she said, "You are a god, you are a worshipable god. So therefore, please, please do something. Become soft. Become lightweight so that Krishna will not feel any distress at all. Oh, honorable one, all my son's actions are in accordance with the instructions of shastras and saintly persons. So please become lightweight so my boy is not inconvenienced." But then Bhattu said, "Mother, do not speak like this. How can you say that Krishna is in distress? Listen, what good has that angry Indra done for us? He brutally attacked us with his dense dark clouds and fierce lightning bolts. Now just appreciate the dazzling sweetness that Krishna is manifesting in this pastime of lifting Giriraj Govardhan. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai." Had Indra not become angry, then we would not have the chance to relish this nectar through our eyes. But Mother Yasoda, she wasn't so easily convinced. So she replied to Bhattu, "O bold one, holding a heavy load over the head can never be a show of sweetness. Lifting the enormous weight of Giriraj will cause one to be distressed and disabled. Just see, and just close your eyes." Oh no, don't close your eyes now. "But just imagine what Mother Yasoda is seeing with her love-covered vision. She says, just see. The locks of curly hair on Krishna's forehead are wet from perspiration. His face has dried out and has become pale like a lotus wilted by the sun. Oh, his hands and feet have a ruddy color." What color is ruddy? Reddish color. "How can a mother's heart bear to see this? Oh Lord Shiva, oh Lord Shiva, how could a mother tolerate such seeing his hardship?" And Krishna said, now what is Krishna feeling? He wants to get rid of his mother's distress. Don't worry. So he says, "Mother, there cannot be anything more fun than this. Why are you worried about me for nothing? Just see. The great mount of Govardhan is floating on its own in the open sky. I told you before that this body of mine is but an instrument of his will." And Mother Yasoda replied, "My dear son, that may be true, But how can you not be tired after standing here for so long? She's only thinking about Krishna and his pleasure and his and removing any discomfort. How could you not be tired from holding that mountain with your raised arm? Oh, intelligent one, I will believe what you said if Govardhan gives up the joyful association of your lotus hand and then flies around in the sky and is playing on his own. Then I'll believe you that he's actually weightless. Bhattu said, O Queen of Vrindavan, don't you know that this great mountain is sitting on the lotus hand of Krishna by the strength of my mantras and special powers? Therefore, my friend is not feeling any pain from holding Giriraj. This is natural because everyone is favorably disposed towards the law of their hearts. Mother Yasoda did not accept that and she said, Oh, impudent one, what kind of nonsense are you speaking? I am burning in anxiety over my son. His tendency is to act independently without caring for any good instruction. We can see how the living entity is part and parcel of Krishna and has similar tendencies. But Mother Yasoda continued, And now you have come here, saying to Bhattu, and now you have come here to make jokes and laugh about it? Nanda Maharaj interjected, Whose side is he going to take in this? Why are you scolding Bhattu? In this world, a person who is expert in diplomacy will use every very affectionate words to encourage one in such a trying situation. Practical advice. So understand the need of the time. Bhattu spoke appropriately, Nandamaraj said. Besides that, our dear son very much appreciates the words of Bhattu. Meanwhile, while these conversations were going on, the rest of the Brijbasi stood around Giridhari. That is his name now. Dhari means the holder, and Giri means the mountain. Giriraj Govardhan. So all the Brijbasis stood around Giridhari, admiring the sweetness of his gorgeous transcendental form. And due to their affection for Krishna, the sinless Brijbasis transgressed ordinary etiquette, and they loudly talked amongst themselves about his extraordinary beauty. So everyone simply was talking about Krishna and his beauty.
Now it's also interesting to note that while the rain was pouring down and the thunder and the hailstones and the lightning, actually Giriraj wasn't feeling anything. Outside the umbrella of Giriraj, the huge cloud formation sent by furious Indra poured incessant rains and blew fierce hurricane winds. But not even one particle of dust. Shanti, Shanti!
He's giving out paisa, paisa. Don't expect Shanti, Shanti.
Shanti!
You have to tell them.
If you give them money, you must keep them quiet. Otherwise, it's, maybe you should take them somewhere. Can you take them a little distance away so that they won't disturb? Well, if you go, they'll go. If you walk with them a little bit. Okay. Anyway, meanwhile, not even one particle of dust fell from Giriraj, and not even one leaf of a tree was affected by this huge, fierce storm that was taking place. So the clouds became very uncomfortable when they saw this because they had tried their best to disturb and to destroy Vrindavan on Indra's advice, but nothing had actually worked. So Indra was also watching this, and although he had such a fighting spirit, he became actually defeated. So those 7 days were felt like 7 joy-filled hours for the Vrajabasis. But for Indra, those 7 days felt like 7 millenniums of intense pain, because he was watching this take place, and his pride was being pulverized, because everything he was doing, such a powerful controller, none of it was having any effect whatsoever on anybody or anything in Vrindavan. So finally, after these monsoon rains of horrific earth-shaking winds, torturing the people of the world with bitter suffering and untold miseries, the serene and peaceful Giriraj was not the least bit disturbed. In fact, he looked absolutely radiant and beautiful throughout the whole ordeal. By the mercy of Krishna, the danger finally ended, and in the distance the Vrajabasis saw the gateways and rooftop rooms of their houses all glittering attractively from being washed by the heavy rains. So they saw that the waters were subsiding and the sun was coming and the sky was becoming bluish. And so now it was time for Krishna to put down the hill. So what he did was, he told everybody, now we're putting down the hill. And he wanted the cows to go out first. So many cows. So then, the cows considered themselves fortunate because they got to relish the sweetness of Krishna's face for 7 days. So they had lost interest in everything else that previously had been pleasing to them. When the cowherd boys called them out from underneath the hill, they delayed. They didn't want to come out. So they're calling them, but the cows wouldn't come out. And then suddenly they all shot out like a volley of arrows, and they all ran out from underneath the hill. But when they saw that Krishna was still under the hill, because he had to be the last one to come out, then they realized he was under the hill, and they immediately quickly ran back underneath and surrounded him again. Immediately Krishna drove them out again by glancing at them with the compassion of a friend. So they all came out. Everyone came out. All of the men, all of the ladies, everybody was now happy. And Krishna tossed Giriraj off his hand, just like a child is throwing a flower ball. He just tossed him back. And there he landed in the same place again. His eyes pouring tears of love, Balaram warmly embraced Krishna. And then Mother Yasoda, she started rubbing her hands all over him and crying and saying, oh, he's so tired. It's been such a torture for him, and embracing him and wanting to feed him so many things. And Rohini, she offered aarti to Krishna with a beautiful jeweled lamp. So everybody was so happy. And the gopis, who now became shy once again, they offered their affection to Krishna with their sidelong glances. And in this way they all worshipped him, and the demigods came and they offered so many prayers, and the situation became very auspicious. But there was only one person who was feeling very uncomfortable. And we can imagine who that was. That was Indra. So Indra, he was feeling very oppressed by what he had done. He was thinking of himself now as an offender. And no matter what he did, he could actually find no peace of mind. So he was thinking in one way or another what he should do. And meanwhile, what happened was the cowherd boys and the men, they thought about what Krishna had done. And they decided that he must be somebody very special, otherwise who else could hold a hill like this? So they came to Nanda Maharaj with their doubt. And they said, we think that actually Krishna, he's not an ordinary child. If he was an ordinary child, he couldn't do something like this. So we think that actually he may be like a demigod or somebody very empowered. And Nanda Maharaj, he laughed. He thought this was very funny, and he explained to the residents of Braj that actually Krishna had so many flaws. He did so many things wrong. He would sometimes steal. He told lies. He would eat other people's food. He would do so many different things, and he assured them not to worry, that Krishna was not like that. He told him, he said, "It is quite fitting that you have developed such affection for my son, but do not allow the mood of awe and reverence to reduce the intensity of your loving friendship towards him. On its own, this mood of majesty is neither natural nor intimate. So do not therefore put yourselves in distress by maintaining this mood of awe and reverence towards Krishna." He said, "Make this youthful son of mine the object of your love and your compassion." So again, they felt lovingly towards Krishna and everything became peaceful and happy with the residents of Braja. But meanwhile, Indra, he was trying to think what to do. So he arranged that he could come here with the help of a Saravi cow. And he came to apologize to Krishna sometime later when Krishna was wandering here and there. And when he came, the Saravi cow came on the advice of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma wanted to pronounce Krishna as being the Indra, the Govinda. Govinda, the master of all the cows and all the cowherd men. So he came here himself, Lord Brahma, and he brought so many demigods with him, and so many apsaras came, and the demigoddesses came, the personified oceans came, personified sacred trees came, the personified rivers. Everybody came here in order to worship Krishna and offer this position to him. So then mantras came personified and they began to chant. And as these various personalities appeared, a huge festival was about to take place just in this area of Govinda Kund. But actually, while this was going on and it was very regal, the demigoddesses, mothers of the universe, they came to bathe Krishna. And the beautiful girls from the heavenly planets came to dress him again in special clothes, and Giriraj offered a seat, and so many things were taking place. Actually, what was Krishna feeling? Although Krishna accepted all this on Lord Brahma's request, he felt somewhat disturbed because his confidential pastimes with the gopas and the gopis were temporarily interrupted. So he was thinking, all these people have come, all these regal personalities, but all that I want is to play with my cows and the cowherd boys and the gopis in a natural way. So then after the whole celebration had taken place and Lord Brahma ordered that there should be food offered, all wonderful delicacies were offered, and everybody had a feast, all the demigods and the demigoddesses and so forth. And then it came time for everyone to depart. The whole area here was littered with all kinds of items, such as the gold offering lamps were thrown here and there, and the chamaras from the demigods were scattered everywhere. And the cowherd boys came along, who had been playing somewhere at a little distance. And they walked into this area, and they saw all of these paraphernalia. And they couldn't understand, where does all this paraphernalia come from? What is all of this? All of these festive things here and there. And they started picking them up and fanning Krishna with them and laughing and teasing Krishna. And in so many ways. And then Bhatti was trying to explain to them, actually, I saw this five-headed demigod, Lord Shiva. He was just leaving as I came. And I saw Lord Brahma, and he was here. And this one was here, and that one was here. And all the boys started laughing and thinking, Bhatti, he's such a talker. And then they all proceeded home, where they told Nanda Maharaj and everybody that Bhatti had made up all these funny stories about Krishna and that he was worshipped like this and so on and so forth. But actually none of them believed any of these things. And Krishna was perfectly happy to be in that natural intimacy of the cowherd men in Braja, even though he reciprocated with the devotees who were responding with this reverential way, and he satisfied all their desires. Actually, he was far, far, far more satisfied to be in the simple setting of Braja. So then, after that, this place became known as Govinda Kund. So now I'd like to ask Maharaj to share with us some of the pastime that also took place here of when Madhavendra Puri came to this place and he found the wonderful Gopal deity. Nama Om Vishnu Pataya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Samihi Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Once again, a very great devotee of our line of in our tradition, Srila Madhavendra Puri, came here in this area of Vrindavan, and he was so happy to be in Vrindavan, he simply sat somewhere the whole day and the night and just chanted in great ecstatic love. Madhavendra Puri, you must know, was once a Kalpa Briksha tree in the spiritual world, and he came here, a wish-fulfilling tree, and he came here to Vrindavan, and he felt, this is where I put my roots, this is my home, and stayed here. Now, as we have often heard, the environment reacts to you in Vrindavan. When you are engaged in bhajan, the Brijbasis become extremely adorable and friendly to you. But when you are engaged in other activities, the Brijbasis might show a hefty temper. In Madhavendra Puri's case, something very, very special happened. He had no time to beg and think of eating and sleeping. He was just chanting. So in the day, all of a sudden a young boy came by and brought a pot of milk and said, I'm bringing this to you. You please drink it, and in the evening I will fetch it. Madhavendra Puri was not a sentimentalist, but as he looked at the boy, he felt so divinely attracted, so that during his chanting, he simply thought of the boy and when he would come and collect his pot of milk. But in the evening, he didn't come. Madhavendra Puri was very worried. Why does he not come and collect his pot of milk and continue to chant until in the morning he fell into some state in between wakefulness and sleep, and there all of a sudden he saw the same boy and said, I'm here to show you something. I'm here in Vrindavan for a long, long time, and I'm very hungry. I have starved. Madhavendra Puri looked at the boy, and the boy brought him to a place and there transformed into a beautiful deity of Lord Gopal. At that time, Madhavendra Puri all of a sudden realized that the boy whom he had seen, the boy who had brought the pot of milk, the boy he felt so attracted to, was no one else than Gopal. And he cried and beat his chest and said, oh, you came to me, but I did not recognize you. The whole night, end of the night, he was disturbed that the Lord had come to him, but he had not recognized him. But in the morning, he immediately set out for serious activity. He had understood the Lord in his deity form had come to him to show him where he is. He wanted worship and food. So he went to the villagers, took them all together and brought them to a bush where they all took spades and
other instruments, and after a short time, they had revealed one hand which was like this. They dug more and more, and they finally found the Lord of Gopal, who has one hand like this. Was it the left hand or the left hand and the pinky? What is the pinky? Is it this one? This small finger was like this because of the deity. So they retrieved the deity, and they began to worship him, and so on. This deity, later, due to the influence, this deity Gopal, later due to the influence of the Moguls who were all over, decided to go to Natadvar. Now this deity first went from here, where he was worshipped, to the town of Mathura, where it was announced to Akbar the Great that the deity is passing through your country. So Akbar was very happy and took a secret darshan and returned. Then Lord Gopal the next day went further away and passed through an area of an animosical Muslim. This Muslim, he heard that there were about 50 brahmanas worshipping Lord Gopal very nicely, and they decided to steal Lord Gopal because the Gopal had golden plates and bejeweled ornaments. So they, this is very interesting. You will not believe your ears now. And those who sleep, please wake up. It's a new story you have not heard. Meanwhile, the party of Lord Gopal went to a river, and stopped for the noon time. The pujaris cooked the food and wanted to prepare. The Mughal general, during this time, arrived at the other side of the river. He got his 500 horsemen ready for the attack. They went and looked over the river, and they saw these people. They have golden plates, and they wash them. Aha, they cook for this Gopal. Far out. Okay, so they began to all put the horsemen and lancemen ready and wanted to cross the river to massacre the pujaris and then steal Lord Gopal. Pujaris at this saw the lances glittering in the midday, in the noon sun, and they thought, oh no, this is our end. They will actually massacre us. And they turned to Gopal. Gopal, please save us. The horsemen, the lancemen came smelling our blood. They want to kill us. What to do? When they were praying, the first attack of the horsemen came. They, in a wave, they crossed the river, and all of a sudden, they saw how the pujaris, who were so afraid, turned into ferocious lions. They saw 50 lions on the bank of the river, looking over to them and making the sound, wah! What? We don't want to fight against 50 lions. And they turned around and they went back. Lord Gopal ki jai. So Lord Gopal had first appeared as a cowherd boy for his devotee to bring him a pot of milk and to show him where he was. And he had also appeared as 50 lions to the enemies. This point of Krishna appearing to his devotees, I feel, is very, very important in Braj. And I want to open your understanding a little bit. Krishna can come to us in many, many ways in Vrindavan. Also, when you should always count on Krishna taking some disguised form and coming. Maybe Krishna will come as a Braj Basi to you and maybe he will point out to you something. Maybe Krishna will come in and take one of the many aveshas. There are many, many stories in Vrindavan, itihasa stories, where the people say that Krishna has come to them in many, many forms. Krishna is not limited here in Vrindavan, and he can come. Therefore, the Vrindavan pilgrim is extremely attentive and careful to the environment, understanding that Krishna can come and show me many lessons. Please know that not only Krishna can show you many lessons, also the inhabitants of Vrindavan. There's a beautiful prayer, beautiful verse of Srimati Radharani, who talks about the creepers. The creepers are plants which crawl up the trees. One time Srimati Radharani says to the creeper, "Oh creepers, see, dance for Krishna." And the creepers begin to move about and dance. Another time Radharani says to the creepers, "Sing, creepers." In this moment the birds chirp, which are the voice of the creepers. Then Radharani may even say to the creepers of Vrindavan, "Do you see that your Lord is coming over there? Pay your obeisances." The creepers leave the trees and fall down on the floor in a long obeisances. This sacred ground is alive. Either Krishna comes, can come any moment here in his disguised form, or he is there in the deity. Like yesterday, we needed to go to one deity, and we wanted to go there and be there at around 2:30. But Srimati Radharani comes every day to this deity at 3:24. So we tried to go like anything, but we only arrived at 3:24. What I want to tell you with this story is, when you are in Vrindavan, rest assured that you can enter into a spiritual atmosphere where things happen differently than you have planned them. Now I will soon give the microphone over, but I want to make one last point, which I feel is very, very important. A point which I really want to make today at the sacred site of Giriraj. This hill Giriraj can come alive to you in your life and teach you many, many lessons and pull you in many ways towards Krishna consciousness. But he will most probably only start to act very personally towards you if you have a relationship to him. I would like to make an example and give an example to you. Look at this young fellow, Gadadha Das, who is lying in the earth like a Brijbasi. To many of you, Gadadha is a foreigner who maybe sings nicely. You do not have maybe a developed relationship. But someone like his wife, Kalakanta, or his good friends who are here and there, they have a developed relationship, and to them Gadadha might say what he really feels and how he wants to take over the world in 4 steps. He has such a plan, so you might soon hear about him in the newspapers. Only if there is a relationship, a revelation takes place of inner secrets. Giriraj also is like this. And when you develop your relationship, only then you will see him in a special light. I want to give you another example which I have heard. Many people will see a woman in a different way according to their relationship. Let us say there is a beautiful woman and many men desire to spend an hour with her, discussing with her, or maybe going with her somewhere. However, there is one man who will never see this beautiful woman as a in that way. It's the father. When the father meets the same beautiful woman about which the whole world talks in one way, the father will see this woman as someone very dear to him, someone he wants to care for, someone he wants to feed. He will never think of that person also in a lusty way, because he has a different relationship. It's my daughter. So the whole world may see a particular person in one way, but according to relationship, the father will see her in an unique other way. This is how Giriraj also is. The ordinary materialist will see Giriraj as an unusual mountain appearing all of a sudden in Braj. Look how absolutely amazing this mountain is. Even the parrots cannot believe it. What to speak of the monkeys? Yes, I know, it is something wonderful. Yes, yes, we agree. Thank you. So look at this, how multi-shaped the cones and drones and cubes and squares and everything is toppled and rolling down, and as you look on him, some wonderful feeling happens in your heart, and as you look at the tree, which is standing there in an, what is this tree doing there? Very unusual up there. You see it in one way, but please know that this is not everything. If you develop your relationship to Giriraj, you will actually see Krishna in him. You will actually, according to that service relationship which you get, you will see him in a special way. This is very important when you go through Braj. As you go through Braj, do not believe your eyes. They tell you one thing, but something entirely different is going on in the sacred country of Vrindavan. According to a relationship, Krishna will reveal himself. And now comes the surprise. You will also be able to develop your loving relationship if you just stay in Vrindavan in a humble state of mind, in a service state of mind. Soon we will take our sacred behinds from the ground, and we will continue to move around Giriraj. At that time, I want to encourage all of you to think of in a service mood. Do this parikrama in a service mood, in an adoring Giriraj. We will also sing some favorable melodies and ragas while we move on. Ragas maybe is too much to say for our attempts to sing nicely. You can praise Giriraj like this. Here is a place which is very dear to us, Madhavendra Puri. This great devotee who cried and who chanted for Krishna, to Hare Krishna and so on. Madhavendra Puri saw how Lord Krishna appeared to him as a cowherd boy, and showed him where he was waiting for him in the deity form. There are people in Radhakund who tell you that there is one night in the year, it's a full moon night, when Giriraj, as a person, comes. He is dressed in a white turban, in a white dress, has a white turban, and he comes this particular way to take his bath in Radhakund. And I know the person who knows where he comes. You can find him and just stand there in the way. When you see in the night a person dressed in white and a turban, you know it might be, it's Giriraj who comes. Hare Krishna.
Krishna can come in many ways, Giriraj can come in many ways in the sacred country of Braj. And I think, therefore, you must be very careful with the Brijbasis. Just be very, very respectful, very kind, while at the same time acting properly. Do not give a Brijbasi much money. It will incite his greed and he will become quite intense and might even try to take some interesting action towards you. You must keep this in mind, act in lokavichar, that is how one acts on the social platform, and that is we must try to appear as perfect saints, and internally we must with love and affection offer our obeisances to them, grasp their feet and say, give me what you have. This attachment to Krishna, my heart is so empty, I have so little of a relationship to Krishna. So little. Disturbingly little. And please give some affection to Krishna. Like this, you will develop your stay in Vrindavan in an ecstatic way. Hare Krishna. My subject was Krishna can appear in many forms. We should be ready to receive him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, C.C. Gonitai ki jai.
What are we up to now?
Start walking.
Maharaj was just asking me if I would explain to you how the hill is gradually disappearing underground. And he was just commenting on how previously he remembers this hill going much, much further, here the rocks structure, but now it has already gone uppercut, it has become unmanifest. And I was just thinking myself also, I don't remember this area as much, but down near Kusum Sarovar towards Radhakund, I remember when we would come and that whole area was also visible. And now you can walk right across as if there was never a hill there at all. So gradually, slowly, slowly, Giriraj is disappearing. And when Giriraj and the Jamuna Devi, when they both disappear, it is said that then Kali Yuga will take its full force. So we're actually very fortunate to come at this time whilst Giriraj is still beautifully visible to us. And even though we're walking along, and at least myself, I was more concerned with my feet and the prickles than the beauty of Giriraj. This is our misfortune. But still just to turn and look and see Giriraj coming, but now disappeared. So which way are we going now, Maharaj? Which way do we go to Puntari?
Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I was just thinking as we were chanting, and also I noticed as we were walking here, that Maharaj said when we were first having our first meditation session, that it's impossible for the mind to do two things at once. So it was very difficult to concentrate on the wonderful holy name of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and simultaneously use the eyes in all appropriateness to gaze at the beauty of Giriraj, and also here to look at the special features of this particular part of the forest around Giriraj. So I concluded as I was reflecting on this dilemma that one had to have a very fast mind that could go backwards and forwards very quickly so that one would be able to do a bit of both. But this place here, Punchari, is also a place of Rasa Lila, as we saw the place on the side of Giriraj. And if you look behind you, you can see here there's one kadamba tree here, the white tree, and another kadamba tree here. Very, very ancient trees. And some of the trees have already left. And just back behind there, you can see one very gnarled small tree, that is a tamal tree. So when I first came to this place, yes, just behind, we can have a look after and pay obeisances. We can go and have a look after. Just behind, you see the big whitish trunk, tall tree, and right behind there's a short, gnarled, blackish tree. You see, very small, just like the tree in Krishna Balaram Mandir. All small and kind of sort of crunched up. So that's a tamal tree. And when I first came to Vrindavan about 1990, I was thinking to write a book about the trees of Vrindavan, just because I had been here and there and I had seen so many trees and the pastimes connected with them. So this was one place that I was encouraged to come and observe the trees, take pictures of the trees in this area for the purpose of making a presentation. And I discovered that the trees here, previously, now there's only one or two tamal trees, if only one that I can see just now. But previously there were couples of trees, tamal and kadamba, kadamba tamal, kadamba tamal. And it was explained to me that this was a place where the kadamba tree represents Srimati Radharani and the tamal tree represents Krishna. So when Radharani would come in the night to meet Krishna, when she would see a kadamba tree, she would think that it was Krishna. And sometimes when she would see Krishna, he would stand very still. And she would think it was a tamal tree. And she would even go and embrace the tamal tree. And to her surprise and delight, she would find out that it was actually Krishna. And likewise, when Sri Krishna was lamenting on the absence of Srimati Radharani, he would instead look at the kadamba trees, whose complexion, as you can see, is lightish. And he would embrace the kadamba tree when he could not find Srimati Radharani. So when the two trees are found together like this, this is known to be a place of Rasa Lila. And I found on the Parikram path, just near to the Goshala, one time I was walking and I saw there's a kadamba tree and a tamal tree that are actually entwined together. They look like one tree growing. If you look from the front, it's golden. At the back, the leaves are, the tree is blackish and the leaves change. So this is like, we also know there's the Krishna Balaram tree, which is a peepal tree, growing with a neem tree, I think, together. So this is something extraordinary in Braj when you see these special trees in special places. Yeah. And there's one monkey here has come to join us.
No, he's not. No, they're not glass-taking monkeys.
Yeah. He's come to hear something. So it used to be that Giriraj, just as Maharaj was pointing out as we were walking through that flat area, that Giriraj used to come in that whole area. I remember at least within the last 10 years, you could come here and sit on Giriraj right here. It was very, very close to Raghava Pandit's cave. This ashram here is the place where Raghava Pandit, beneath the ground there is a cave. And there's one, I don't know if it's the same elderly Vaishnava, but he has been here he was here for many, many, many long years doing his bhajan here and taking care of that cave. And think of recent, there's another gateway and another entrance to that cave area. But this was the place of Raghava Pandit, and who, as I said, was always covered from head to foot in the dust of Braj, and was also always weeping, because the Goswamis, as we know, Hey Radhe Bajadevike Chalarite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuta, the six Goswamis were wandering everywhere. They never thought, oh, I have seen Krishna. I saw Krishna in a very ordinary sense. Of course, they were always searching for Krishna, and Krishna appeared to them many times. But they were not thinking jubilantly. They were always feeling a deep mood of Vipralamba Seva. They were serving in this mood of separation. And they would wander from place to place, always thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Srimati Radharani? Maybe on the top of this hill. Oh, just around the corner. Somewhere I can see, where is Krishna? And so similarly, they used to travel from place to place and sleep under different trees every night. And somewhere I read that it is said that the trees themselves used to enlighten them as to what pastime took place in that particular place in Braj. So we're walking in this place that is, as Maharaj described, a blind man. I thought that was quite an interesting image, a blind man walking in a hall of mirrors. It means if he could open his eyes, he would see so many times himself walking in that place. But he has no sight whatsoever, so he can't see anything. So what's the use of a mirror to a blind man? So here we are, but we know what is the use for us to come to Braj and to meditate on these transcendental places, that they will awaken, as Maharaj is saying, a deeper absorption in the reality of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So now, Maharaj, you have to tell us something sweet.
No, we will sing. We will sing. So this is the Rasa Stali, the place where the Rasa Leela took place. And Braj Bihari Prabhu, I think, and Jagatarini and Bhujan Prabhu and myself, we thought, we will not tell anything, we will sing, and you can also think on your own about this beautiful Leela of the Rasa Leela, if you wish, or if you wish, you can just concentrate on the holy name. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita says that a very important sadhana is to go to the different Leela Sthanas, that is the place where the Leelas took place, and there, in a longing voice, chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. This is what the Brihad Bhagavatamrita encourages devotees to do. So we will hear not talk about the Rasa Leela, but it took place here, and let us have a very nice absorbing kirtan where we fully concentrate ourselves on the Yugal mantra. It's Yuga means where the divine couple is together, and the Yuga mantra for us Gaudiyas is the Hare Krishna mantra where Radha and Krishna are together, united. So, is there a microphone holder, a talented microphone holder?